Hello and welcome back to the Football Postcast here on The Racing Post. You join us ahead of another game week of brilliant action across all of the divisions. To find all of the best betting angles, myself, Jack Reeve, is joined alongside Aaron Ashley and Bobby Jackson of The Racing Post Sport Desk, as well as Will Fenwick from our sponsors, Paddy Power. Gents, 10 more live games to preview, so let's jump straight into the action with two games on Friday this week. Lots of football to look forward to tomorrow evening on Friday. The first is Brighton and Hove Albion taking on Burnley at 5:30. And Will, let's start with you. A show of the prizes and your fancy, please.
Hiya, Jack. Good to be back on the podcast. Yeah, we've got Brighton at 5-6, the draw at 5-2, and Burnley at 10-3. Now, Brighton have been very good. They've been fancied by everybody. They've been fancied in the prices. They've been performing well in the stats, but have not really been getting the results that people have expected them to be having. I've got them rated now the 11th best team in the league. And even though they are missing some key players, I think this is going to be the week that the results start coming their way. So I do fancy Brighton at that 5-6 there.
Well, when you say you've got them, just so our listeners know, when you say you've got them rated as the 11th best team in the division, what kind of data and statistics are you using to work that out?
So when we're looking at rating teams and trying to figure out what price is going to get, what we look at, the main driver of that is the closing price in the Betfair Exchange. We believe that we know there's millions of pounds going into that, and a lot of it is smart money from syndicates or people who really know their stuff. And we can look at those closing prices and find out the difference that the market, the difference in team strength between two teams that the market thinks are, we can look at the closing prices and we can see the difference in strength that the market gives these two teams, and from that we can work out the difference between all 20 teams. As well as that, we're also collecting XG data, shots on target, as well as, of course, goals and wins, draws and loss. And we collect those stats to make sure that we're never behind the market, but we're also making sure that we're looking at all the information that the market closing price gives us. And that goes a lot into our prices and our ratings of the teams.
Brilliant. Yeah, that's really interesting today. I just wanted to get some clarification on that. Aaron, Burnley currently 20th in the division without a win all season. And again, this isn't an easy game for them.
No, it's not. It's definitely not an easy game. What I would say is they've had a lot of injuries this season, Burnley, and they're getting a lot of first-team players back, and those injuries are starting to clear. They made life difficult for Spurs, and I think they can make life difficult for Brighton too. We know Brighton play excellent football, but they do have little to show for it. They're winless in 5 league games, and I'm not sure I'm rushing to take the short price, especially until we know what's going on with the Neil Morpay situation. They got themselves in so many dangerous areas at Tottenham, but they were missing him. They were missing his brilliance up front. So for me, I think Burnley can escape with at least a point. So Burnley or draw a double chance at 10 to 11 would be my approach.
Bobby, is this the kind of game that Burnley might fancy in terms of getting off the mark this season?
I think it's one that will be attractive to them. We've seen over the last few weeks teams that have maybe been struggling, and then you look at the next game that's coming up for them. They've been up against one of those big six sides or a team that's in form. So Burnley will definitely welcome the fact that they're taking on a Brighton team that haven't maybe performed as well as they should have done. But I can't go away from Brighton. I said last week that I'm getting a bit sick of defending Brighton, a side that I do like, but they just haven't been able to convert when they've got to the final third. For me, this is almost the last straw with Brighton. Now, if they don't do it this time around, I am going to give up on them. I think they're up against a Burnley side who have only scored 3 times all season. They've not scored in the last 3 games. If Brighton can't win this one on home soil, then surely we've got to be looking at them as a side that are going to be struggling all season. I think this is the perfect opportunity for Graham Potter's side to try and get up and running, get some momentum going. The unfortunate fact is that it comes just before an international break, I suppose. So if they do get a win, that momentum maybe doesn't build as much as it would do if we were with the regular season just rolling on and on. So yeah, I am going to go to Brighton, but as I say, this is the last chance I'm giving them.
Okay, mate. That's a fascinating game to start things off on the Friday evening. And there is another game, as I mentioned, on Friday, 8 o'clock on Sky Sports main event, Southampton take on Newcastle. Will, two sides off the back of a win in their last outing. And how do Paddy Power price this?
We have Southampton at 10 to 11, the draw at 5-2 and Newcastle at 11 to 4. Now, Southampton might seem a big price there, but they're missing Ings there. And as far as missing players go, there's not many players that are going to make such a big impact on being out as Danny Ings will. And I don't think the market has reacted enough to that. I think Newcastle are looking quite big there at 11-4. But on the other hand, I'm also looking at the goal scorer markets, and I'm looking at Callum Wilson and just how instrumental he's been for Newcastle. And I was looking at some of the stats there, and he's had 70% of all of Newcastle's XG, even though he's only taken 21% of the shots. And that's because he's getting such good positions, and he's taking the penalties as well. So I'm looking at him at the top of the list for goal scorers. First goal scorer, 11-2, does seem very tempting, for sure.
Good stuff, Callum Wilson. Yeah, he's been fantastic for them this season, for sure. Aaron, Newcastle just quietly going about their business, aren't they? 11th in the division. That puts them above Leeds, West Ham, United, all teams who I spoke about more. Do you fancy them here?
I fancy them to get a point here. I think Danny Ings is a massive factor. Without Danny Ings, I wouldn't. I mean, Southampton, the form team, they've been playing brilliantly, but he is a big part of them. And I was trying to look at last season. He actually featured in all 38 of their games last season. So it's hard to get a handle on how they'll cope without him. But Newcastle, they're going to set up to frustrate. They're pretty negative on their travels, but it is proven effective. They've gone to Spurs, they've got a point. They've gone to Wolves, they've got a point. And I can see them doing the same here.
Bobby, can Southampton cope without Ings?
I think they're going to struggle. Shea Adams has been really good this season. If there is anyone that can fill in for him, it's the former Birmingham man. I think he's definitely stepped up. And for me, it was interesting to see that partnership starting to develop between Ings and Adams. We'll see how he gets on now, maybe that he hasn't got his partner with him, the one that gets more of the goals and he can help to tee up. I'm not sure how Ralph Hasenhüttl will set up in this one, whether he's going to still go two up at the top. He does tend to like that 4-4-2. We've seen Michael Obafemi play in a forward role before. He might go up alongside Shea Adams. So we'll have to wait and see what that lineup looks like. But I'm also thinking that there could be something in this one for Newcastle, whether it's the draw or Newcastle double chance. I also quite like the look of that one. As Aaron said, that they've been good on the road this season of Newcastle. It just depends for me on what sort of approach Steve Bruce takes. His games away from home this season, draws at Wolves and Spurs. He's been quite defensive and well organised. It's whether he sees Southampton as maybe a threat, or if he thinks, you know what, we're equals here. Let's be a bit more expansive and let's try and go and get the win, especially due to the fact there's no Danny Ings. They did win at Southampton last season as well, 1-0-2, so that's worth considering as well. But I definitely would lean more towards Newcastle in this one, despite the form that Southampton have recently had.
Interesting. Listeners, please do feel free to tweet us at Racing Post Sport. How important is Danny Ings for Southampton? He will be missing in their game against Newcastle on Friday evening. Into Saturday's action, we kick things off with a brilliant game. Everton against Manchester United, 12:30 kickoff on BT Sport. Will, I think we have to start here talking about the midweek defeat for Manchester United in Europe. I mean, the first goal that was scored by Demba Ba, if you watch that without any kind of information about the time, you would have thought it was a stoppage time counterattack from Istanbul. But it was early on in the game, no defenders back, and Demba Ba just waltzed through. What's going on with Manchester United at the moment?
Yeah, it was shocking. It was embarrassing. For Man United, as a Newcastle fan, seeing Demba Ba do that was fantastic. I enjoyed that very much. But as well, if you look at the Champions League form, that was the the reason for keeping Solskjaer in. Like he's had two of his best victories of his career. First of all, tactically outthinking PSG, and then just demolishing Leipzig. Like if you looked at that, you'd think he was a world class manager. Just those two games in isolation. Since then, they just seem to fall on the par. Come back to, you know, the Manchester United that we've seen a few times since he's taken over. It's sloppy, to be honest. And they're very lucky that they're facing Everton now, when Everton are in the middle of their own injury crisis. The fact that they're missing a bunch of key players, Coleman, Richarlison, Rodriguez and Gomez might also not be able to out. Like Rodriguez, we've seen the impact he's had, and he'd be having almost as big an impact on the prices as Danny Ings might. It's probably a very good time to play Everton, and United will be thankful of that. I think there's a lot being said about Ole's job and if he's going to keep it. But the last time I was on this podcast, and we talked about Man U, I tipped up Man U to get a penalty. That was before they faced Brighton. Before that match, they had penalties and lost 7 out of 8 games. Since then, they've played 9 matches, and there's been 7 more penalties. So there's just tons and tons of penalties in United matches. They're winning them, and they're giving them away cheaply. So you can get penalty scored at 21-10. Or if you lost trust in Fernandez, you can get the penalty awarded at 6-4. I think they're both very good prices there.
Well, and what's the match price in terms of Everton and Manchester United for this game?
Yes. Everton at 9-5, the draw at 12-5, and United at 11-8.
Aaron, what do you fancy here?
I'm going to take a flyer on Everton. I think Lucas Digne being back from suspension, I think Rodriguez is expected to be fit, which is massive for them. Obviously, Richarlison's the worry because Everton have failed to win their last 7 matches without him. But I just can't trust United at the moment. And a quick turnaround after their defeat in Turkey, a Saturday early kickoff after a trip to Turkey on Wednesday. I'm not sure about them. I'm not sure Solskjaer knows his best team. All these changing of personnel and tactical changes, the constant chopping, is just not for me. And at the moment, they are vulnerable. So I'd have to go with Everton, who held Liverpool at home. And they have scored 20 goals in 5 competitive matches at home this season.
Yeah, Bobby, I mean, Manchester United's defeat in Europe was dominating the radio airwaves, the television, the back pages today. They're really starting to feel the heat, aren't they?
They are, and I think for me, that the change in the dugout probably isn't too far away, as we heard there. It's the Champions League that's almost been keeping Ole Gunnar Solskjaer going for a little bit. I think as long as you've got someone like Mauricio Pochettino floating around and starting to put himself back in the limelight a little bit now, doing some media stuff, that there's going to be some consideration as to whether he's maybe the right man to step in. I think he'd be a fantastic option for them. You wonder if this could maybe be the final game. We often see managerial changes over the course of international breaks, gives clubs the opportunity to get one out and one in and try to get the pieces in place ahead of the next round of fixtures, rather than trying to do it as it is this season, especially with such a quick turnaround when domestic and European football's been played. I'm also going to go for Everton in this game. I think I've really liked them this season. Yes, they've lost the last 2 matches, but it is worth considering that both of those games have been away from home against Newcastle and Southampton, sides that I think Everton would have hoped and expected to beat, but back on home soil, they'll be glad to be in Goodison Park and hoping that they can get the victory. Really worth considering as well that the fatigue that potentially could be there for United, a long trip to Istanbul, although it would have been in the comforts, I'm sure, of first class, that they'll be back and maybe just feeling a little bit upset, frustrated, disappointed about the performance, and then factoring in that fatigue as well. So I've got to go towards Everton. I also like the look of over 3.5 goals in this game. I think it could be quite an exciting match. Both sides have struggled defensively. Everton have only got one clean sheet so far in seven Premier League games this term. That came in the opening round against Tottenham. And United, who have played one game fewer than most in the Premier League this season, well, there's only four clubs who have shipped more goals than them. So they've got real issues at the back. So I'd be looking at this game to be quite high scoring.
Brilliant stuff. That would be an exciting way to start Saturday. 3 p.m. Crystal Palace taking on Leeds United. It's BT Sport box office, this one. Will, two sides with an identical record in the Premier League this season. Do you see this one being a tough one to decide on the result?
No, I don't really. It's going to be tight, but it is going to be tight for the result. But if you're looking for the value, I think it's all on Leeds. Palace are 9-5. The draw is 23-10, and Leeds are 7-5. Leeds, I think fans will be a lot happier of the start than Palace fans. And you know, everybody's been singing them praises, and even though both sides have a few injuries, I do fancy Leeds to come away with this. I think Leeds have very much shown that it's more so about the style of football, and that rather than the individual players that have led them to this success, and Marcelo Bielsa has been turning some of these average footballers like Calvin Phillips would have been before he came into what looked like world beaters. And you know, the replacements that will be coming in will be almost as good, because they'll be drilled in the same moves and same style of playing. So yeah, I do fancy Leeds at 7-5 there.
Aaron, I mean, obviously contrasting styles, as Will's alluded to there, but it's resulted in the same amount of points this season. How do you see this one going?
Yeah, I'd be quite confident on a Leeds win here. I know they were beaten 4-1 by Leicester on Monday, but their possession-based style, it played right into the hands of Leicester, who are obviously the kings of the counter-attack. They've obviously got Zaha to keep an eye on, but that Palace attack's not as daunting as the pace of Vardy and Barnes. So, yeah, I do fancy Leeds here. Everton have won at Selhurst Park this season, and Brighton pinched a point in a game they completely dominated. They actually won the shot count 20-1 in that match. And if you give those chances to Leeds with their high tempo and energy, they're going to punish you. So, for me, Leeds at 7-5, they look a good bet. And there's also worse bets than Patrick Bamford to open the score in. I know he missed two gilt-edge opportunities against Leicester, should have put him ahead very early on, but he's notched in all three of their away league games this season, and he scored first in away wins at Sheffield United and Villa.
Bobby, is it going to be a clean sweep for Leeds?
Yeah, I've got to go with Leeds as well this weekend. Keep flying that white flag for the Whites. We see them play so well in the Premier League this season. The way they've adapted to it has been fantastic. I'd maybe even be tempted to go for the Leeds win and both teams to score, just to boost up that price a little bit. We know that Leeds have been a bit open defensively, that they've outscored teams when they've gone on to win matches. That they've been hugely exciting games. But both Leeds and Palace have played seven times this season. Four of their seven games have had both teams to score in. So I think Leeds will probably give one away, but I expect them to win this one 2-1, 3-1 possibly. Just overwhelming Palace, really. And I think that there's just so much energy in this Leeds side. You compare it to Palace, who have got the oldest average age of a squad in the Premier League, and there'll be one or two in there that might not be able to match that sort of energy and pace throughout the 90 minutes. So Leeds, for me, have got to win this one.
There we go. A full sweep of agreement across the panel for the first time this week. 5:30 on Saturday sees Chelsea take on Sheffield United. Will, a show of the prices for this and your pick, please.
We have Chelsea at 3-1. We have the draw at 4-1, and Sheffield United at 15-2. Now, I reckon those prices are almost bang on. So, you know, if you had to twist my arm and go for Chelsea on the short price, I do like them as a team. But I think definitely, without a doubt, the value here is on goal scorers with Timo Werner. Frank Lampard has been in the press this week to say that he'll be taking penalties from now on, and to be given that, like, gives you so much more of a big opportunity to get a goal. And you know, the switch from a non-penalty taker to penalty taker is like the equivalent of like a fullback playing winger, and the difference of how much more likely you are to score. It's like the holy grail for a goal scorer back is there. And you know, I think there's definite value there in the first goal scorer price there. Maybe not so much in ours. We've cut our first goal scorer prices. We're 12-5 there. Still a fun bet to be on though. But there are bigger prices available for sure.
Good stuff. Aaron, Sheffield United, one of the three teams now still without a win, 7 games played, 0 wins, just 1 draw. Can they pick something up here?
No, not for me. Chelsea appear to have ironed out those defensive flaws that were causing them problems earlier in the season. They've kept 6 straight clean sheets, which includes shutouts against Sevilla and United. They look much more assured with Mendy in net. And Zouma and Thiago Silva are complementing one another well at the centre-back. So I could see another clean sheet, but I'd go for Chelsea to win in under 3.5 goals. You know what you're going to get from Chris Wilder's Sheffield United. They do make life tough for you. 5 of their 6 defeats have been by a single goal, and that includes against Manchester City, Liverpool and Arsenal. All 7 of their league games have featured 3 or fewer goals. So Chelsea to win and under 3.5 goals at a shade of odds against looks the play for me.
Yeah, good angle there. Bobby, what is it with Sheffield United this season? I mean, Dan Charles came on the podcast very early on and said he didn't like the look of Sheffield United. And I think I thought they might pick up a little bit from there, but it's just not working, is it?
No, I mean, they didn't do a huge amount of business over the summer. I did quite like the signing of Rhian Brewster. I thought that could be a good addition to the squad. He's maybe not quite settled just yet. He looked good last season at Swansea on loan in the Championship. Sometimes takes a little bit of time to maybe adjust to the step up in level that is the Premier League. There's maybe one or two issues bubbling around in the background as well, that John Lundstrom contract situation. Chris Wilder saying that he's happy for him to play at the moment, but it has suggested that they could move him on in January to at least try and get some money in, as he's refusing to sign a new deal. So I think there's maybe some issues there that Wilder's having to deal with off the pitch as well, which maybe just takes away from what we saw from the Blades last season. And it was always going to be tough for them this year. Let's not get away from the fact that they massively overachieved last season, that they were good to watch in the way they played their football. Wasn't the most exciting, but the way they came up and just stayed true to their beliefs, I think was really good to see. Like the others, I've got to go with Chelsea in this game, though. And I'm looking at Chelsea -1 in the handicap. I went for this bet last week as well when they beat Burnley, and it came in pretty comfortably. Even she can get on Chelsea -1 on home soil. I just think that they're going to be able to blast through the Sheffield United side. The fact that Hakim Ziyech is back has really boosted them in that final third. It doesn't look like they're going to have Kai Havertz available, but Timo Werner, Tammy Abraham, Mason Mount, all of these players that can cause problems in that advanced area of the field. Now, I think it's going to be such an opportunity for Chelsea really to go and score plenty of goals in this game. There's so much creativity in that side, and I think Sheffield United won't be able to cope with them.
Yeah, winning bet last week for Bobby. Let's hope it's another one this week on the handicap for Chelsea. The late game on Saturday, West Ham United against Fulham. Fulham off the mark with a 2-0 win against West Brom on Monday. It was one of those games, wasn't it? It was early on the Monday. It was on box office as well. So if anyone forgot about that result, then I completely understand, because some of these games are just coming and going very quickly at the moment. Will, what are the prices for this match?
We have West Ham at 4-5, the draw at 13-5, and Fulham at 16-5.
What's your
fancy? Both of these teams, I would say, are on the up. Like West Ham have impressed very well, apart from the last match, but that was against the champions Liverpool. Even though they managed to scrape the draw with City there, and Fulham have just got off their first win of the season, like you said. But even though they're missing Antonio, I do fancy West Ham. I think they're a completely different team to what they were last season. Even though they did show signs of improving late on last year, I think it was kind of overlooked there because it was the end of the season and such. I think they're a very strong team at the minute. I got them rated 12th best in the league. So at 4-5, I'd fancy them there.
Aaron, are you of a similar mindset with this one?
I am gonna stick with West Ham. If Mikel Antonio was fit, you'd be absolutely all over West Ham at 4-5. Mm. They'd probably be one of the better bets of the weekend. So I'm going to stick with them despite his absence. It is typical West Ham, though. They tend to perform well against the Premier League's leading lights, and then they'll go slip up here. But I'm gonna keep the faith. They just look well organised. They look disciplined, and I think the way they're set up, they're set up to cope with the physical challenge of Mitrovic. And I just think at 4-5, yeah, I think they're quite a big price.
Bobby, I mean, Fulham, that first win, as it always is for the newly promoted teams in the Premier League, could be massive just to get yourself off the mark and away. Will that carry them some confidence into this?
It definitely brings belief into the squad. I think Scott Parker has been saying a lot of the right things in the early weeks of the season, but we've not necessarily been seeing those things on the field. He felt that on the training pitches that looked good, and when they initially came up, he was speaking about how they'd learned from the mistakes last time around, how his squad were bearing the scars of that relegation, but we're going to be much better this time around. And maybe it's taken a little bit of time for the players to truly believe that was the case. I have to go with West Ham in this game, though, even though Fulham got that victory and morale boosting as it was. I think West Ham will just have too much for them this weekend. I'm looking at the West Ham to win, but both teams to score 13-5, I think, pretty decent price for that one. West Ham have scored in six of their seven games so far this season. The only match they failed to score in was that opener against Arsenal. And Fulham, after struggling to score goals right at the start, have found their feet, obviously got that win last time out. And they've scored in each of their last three Premier League games. So I do fancy West Ham to win this one. But I think at Fulham, maybe through Mitrovic, potentially. Decodova Reed has looked decent. And Ademola Lookman, I think, is also a pretty attractive player in the goal scorer market. Maybe to pull one back for Fulham, but just not to have enough to take anything from the game.
That's Saturday's games all done. And Sunday and the naps still to come. Stay with us.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Hello and welcome back to the Football Postcast here on the Racing Post with myself, Jack Reeve, joined alongside Aaron Ashley, Bobby Jackson and Will Fenwick from our sponsors, Paddy Power, this week. Four games on Sunday to get through. Let's start then with West Brom against Tottenham Hotspur. Will, how are you feeling for this one?
Well, I'd say it's punters and most people looking at this are going to have only one team in mind to back. You can back West Brom at 5-1, the draw at 10-3, and Spurs at 4-9. I think, given the way both teams have been playing, 4-9 is just it's massive. I'm perplexed at that, to be honest. West Brom, I think they're clearly the worst team in the league. If you look at the prices going off, if you look at the XG, or if you look at the results, they all point to West Brom being the worst. To have all three of them agree is a very bad sign. And the way Spurs have been playing has been fantastic. It's, you know, it's great to see them that good. They could be, you know, even better in Chelsea and have a claim to be the third best team in the league right now. And we've seen a very popular bet as well coming up on Spurs matches recently, the return of favour. What odds Paddy bet here, which is Kane to assist Son for a goal and Son to assist Kane for a goal, and it's been very popular. We've had it for £3.5 million liability in some of these matches, but I think that the punters are very right to notice that there has been a change in the way those two players are playing. Kane has definitely become more of a creator. And I'm not sure the prices have caught up, because you can still get Kane to assist any time at 13-5, which I think is very big, considering you could easily see them putting 3-4 goals past West Brom.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Aaron, West Brom, no wins this season. They've picked up 3 points, their draws against Chelsea, Brighton and Fulham. Can they pose any kind of threat to Tottenham here?
I mean, with Tottenham, you never know. I mean, they've only kept 1 clean sheet in 7 Premier League games, but they have scored 12 times in just 3 Premier League road trips. So I'm going to go with Tottenham to win and over 2.5 goals. It kind of feels like 2 bets into 1, because if they score early, you can go and see them run riot, scoring 4 or 5. But at the same time, you wouldn't be surprised if they did concede. West Brom look very top heavy to me. Defensively, they just look poor. Branislav Ivanovic, now 36, has been drafted in at the back alongside Semi Ajayi, and Bilic was absolutely fuming when they sold Hakmet Agazi. He said that he wanted him to stay, and he was told that he would stay. He was very critical of his players after they lost to Fulham, and it just doesn't feel like a good atmosphere at the minute at the Hawthorn. So for me, I'm going to go for Spurs to win and over 2.5 goals.
What are you thinking here, Bobby?
Yeah, also the Spurs win, but on that minus one handicap again, it's a bet that I do like having, and I think there's a lot of value in Tottenham in this one at 11-8 on the minus one. It's top scorers in the league, Tottenham against the worst defence in the division, West Brom. So for me, I think it's got to be a pretty comprehensive win, that they've scored 6 and 5 goals in 2 of their 3 away games in the Premier League this season, Tottenham. West Brom conceding 3 in 2 of their 3 at the Hawthorn so far this term. So even though Tottenham are on the road, I think that they'll really be able to see this one through pretty comfortably. And the fact that they're in Europa League action on Thursday, I don't think really comes into the equation too much, because there's such depth in that squad now for Jose Mourinho. He's done some good business for me, and I think he'll have plenty of fresh players available for this game.
Yeah, Tottenham fly high, and so are the two teams featuring in the next game. Leicester City against Wolverhampton Wanderers, 2 p.m. on Sunday on Sky Sports main event. Will, the prices for this and your pick?
Yeah, we have Leicester at 5-4, the draw at 21-10, and Wolves at 23-10. You've just mentioned there, Leicester. We'll also have a Europa League game. They'll be going to Portugal, and they'll be late there. They'll be late getting back. It's 8 o'clock match. They'll be finishing 10 o'clock. They won't be back in their own beds until like 1 or 2. And Wolves had to deal with that last year. But they dealt with it fantastically. They had the best injury record of all teams, even though they were playing Europa League on the Thursday, and this season they've not got any midweek fixtures. They're not in Europe, so they have all that extra time to recover. They have all that extra time to plan against how they're going to play against Leicester, because as you say, you know, Leicester, they do have this counter-attacking style of play, and it's something Wolves will have to plan for, and they'll be preparing for that all week, whilst Leicester will be preparing for this match in the Europa League. So at 23-10, I am fancying Wolves, especially as well. You look at all the injuries Leicester still have. I know it didn't affect them against Leeds, but it was a case of football and styles there, I think, won over for Leicester. Rock beats paper sort of thing.
Aaron, how much do we...
Paper beats rock.
Yeah, how much do we read into the midweek European action, Aaron? I mean, whether it's Europa League or Champions League, it's going to be disruptive to some extent. But how much do teams can prepare for this and hopefully, you know, counteract it?
It definitely is a factor. And I think it's definitely a factor for Leicester at the minute when you see the amount of first-teamers they've got out. I mean, Soyuncu, Ndidi, Castagna, Pereira, Amate, they're all on the board. They're all borderline first-team players who are all out. Evans as well, he's lacking match practice. So for them, this is their third match in 7 days. I think it's definitely a factor. So I think Wolves look too big. Is it 23-10? I think that's a fair price. Mm-hmm. Leeds are at their best when they can counter-attack teams, as they showed against Leeds. They did it at Man City. They did it against Arsenal. Whereas Wolves are pretty similar. They're also dangerous on the counter. They won't want to dominate the ball. So it's kind of an interesting one. It's kind of a fascinating clash. It'll be nice to see how things pan out, but I just think that Leicester are going to see a lot more of the ball here, and that's when they're asked to break down teams like they did against West Ham and got beat, and they did against Villa and got beat. I think that's when they're the most vulnerable. So for me, I'm going to take a chance on Wolves. They're unbeaten in four. They've conceded just one goal in that time, and they're definitely improving. So yeah, Wolves look too big.
Bobby, are you a fan of Wolves as well?
Yeah, I think if you pushed me, I'd go towards Wolves in this one. I was struggling to pick a winner. Some convincing arguments there that the fact that Leicester are obviously involved in Europa League action, albeit on home soil at the King Power Stadium, I still think that quick turnaround is something that proves problematic. I'm not quite sure I always buy into the excuses from Europa League clubs that Thursday to Sunday is different to a Wednesday to Saturday, but for some reason they seem to find it much harder. I'd maybe be more going towards the unders goal, the unders markets under 1.5 goals, I think I like the look of. I think the two really well-matched sides obviously have been competing for European football over the last few years. Both good managers and both have good brands of football. But they played out a couple of goalless draws last season. And I think that Leicester will frustrate Wolves. As I say, if you pushed me, I would maybe go to a 1-0 Wolves win. But I just think that Wolves' away form has been a bit mixed. Two wins and two losses. The thing that draws me towards Wolves as well is the fact that Leicester have struggled on home soil. They've lost three of their four in the Premier League, but I can just see this one being quite a tight game, well organised potentially with both managers, maybe afraid to lose it a little bit, so maybe Wolves just to edge it.
Okay, great stuff, mate. Yeah, brilliant afternoon of football on Sunday. We've got that game at 2, and at 4:30 we've got Manchester City taking on Liverpool. Will, clearly two of the best sides in the division, the top two in the outright market going into the season, and still will be. This is going to be a fascinating match. Which way do you see it going?
I really do fancy Liverpool in this one. We have City at 10-11, the draw at 3-1. And Liverpool at 23-10. I feel we've all been convinced that Liverpool are still the same team they were last year. Like they did get battered by Villa, but they've put in some great performances as well, and they're at the top of the league table there. Whereas City have been struggling. Apart from Europe, they've not really been putting in the performances that we're used to seeing them. And so the prices you're seeing on City now are still people thinking, oh, yeah, City, same players, they can still do it. There's nothing really changed, even though the stats are kind of telling them different things. But, you know, we're hoping, you know, they're hoping that City can't really get that much worse. Like, they've hopefully only got a little bit worse, but even so, the form Liverpool are in, I definitely have to fancy them there. And I'll mention as well, like for all Paddy Power punters, if you log in for this game, there'll be a £5 free bet for all customers to put on whatever you fancy in that game. And I think I fancy Sterling and Jota both to score. That's been boosted from 6-1 to 8-1, and they're both two fantastic players. And you know, to have a chance of winning £40 from your £5 free bet. For now, that sounds like a good bet to be on for me.
Yeah, that sounds good. Aaron, I still can't get my head around these Liverpool prices. I mean, I couldn't understand why they were so big in the outrights at the start of the season. 23-10 going into this game. Let's not forget the top of the table. They absolutely dismantled a fairly classy Atalanta side in the midweek. I mean, can you understand it?
No, I'm completely with you, Jack. I think they're a massive prize. When you can go and back the champions at draw no bet at 13-8, I mean, it's just ludicrous. It's far too big to ignore. I mean, look, it's a game that neither can afford to lose, but particularly City. They'll fall 8 points behind Liverpool if they're beaten here. And let's not forget, I mean, City have dropped points in three of the last five league games. Neither have been at their best, but Liverpool will have that greater winning mentality, and they still have a habit of carving out victories, even when they are below their best. A lot has been made about the injury to Virgil van Dijk, but at the end of the day, Liverpool arrive here full of confidence. They've just crushed Atalanta 5-0, who are a great attacking unit, and they've made a great attacking side look just ordinary. So I think, 13-8, draw no bet, about the champions, it just looks crazy big to me.
Yeah, I agree, Bobby. I mean, you can add sort of Diogo Jota into that, you know, into the list. I think it's 6 goals in his last 8 shots or something. He's looked unbelievable. I mean, Manchester City, obviously we can't write them off. Which way do you see this going?
Yeah, I mean, I have to agree. It is very tempting, that price for Liverpool, but it's not tempting if you don't think they're going to win. And I don't believe they will in this one. I think Manchester City, for me, are too good on home soil. A lot being made there of maybe they haven't been at their best this season. But let's not forget that they've played 11 times. They've only lost once. They're unbeaten in eight now since that defeat to Leicester. Yes, they've drawn twice in that sequence of eight games, but they'd still put in good performances. The match against Leeds was an incredible spectacle from the neutrals. Against West Ham, I think they'd admit that was a frustrating day. But I saw them in midweek against Olympiacos, and they looked far too good for the Greek side there, even without Sergio Aguero and Gabriel Jesus, although the latter came off the bench and scored late on. Whether he starts this weekend could be a key factor in this one. He certainly looked sharp when he came off the bench against Olympiacos. And Liverpool's record at Manchester City isn't great. They've not won in the league there since 2015. That's four games now since they last picked up a victory at the Etihad. And City have won the last three at home in that sequence, winning three and drawing one. So I think I've got to go towards Manchester City. The defensive issues for Liverpool, they've shipped the most goals of anyone in the league. And I think I read that no one's conceded more goals than Liverpool in the Premier League since they were crowned Premier League champions. Yes, they're scoring lots at the other end. And I think Jota has been a fantastic addition and has certainly helped them in that matter. But I just think Manchester City, for me, are the side to be getting behind in this game.
Oh, there we go. Compelling arguments for both Manchester City and Liverpool. Which way will you be going? That's going to be a fascinating game. That one, 4:30 on Sunday on Sky Sports Main Event. One more game to get through then. Arsenal against Aston Villa, 7:15 Sunday. This one will be on the box office. You'll have to pay if you want to watch it. Will, the final game and the prices, please.
Yeah, we have Arsenal at 4-6, the draw at 11-4, and Villa at 7-2. So Villa have been a serious side this season. If you were just to look at the stats and not look at team sheets or the prices that these two teams are going off, then you'd probably think this game was a pick'em, that you know either team could win it. But we know that you know teams don't decline that fast and teams don't get that good that fast. You know. Villa have just found a good vein of form. Arsenal are just in a sticky patch there, you know. So I think that back in Arsenal at 4-6 at home to Villa, it definitely seems the pick there. I really quite like that.
Aaron, Villa obviously started the season brilliantly, and they were good value for all of them wins as well. Can you see them popping up here?
No, not for me. I fancy Arsenal to win and both teams to score at 21-10. I know Arsenal, they look to have tightened up defensively. They definitely look more, they look better organised under Mikel Arteta, but they have conceded in all three of their home league games this season against West Ham, Sheffield United and Leicester. And we know Villa are at their strongest going forward. Grealish, Watkins, Barkley and Traore, if he's fit, they're going to cause a problems for this Arsenal side. Villa, on the other hand, they have lost their defensive discipline. They've shipped six goals in losing their last two games against Leeds and Southampton. And Willian, Lacazette and Aubameyang are going to smell blood. So Arsenal to win and both teams to score for me.
Come on then, Bobby. You can get the final say on the show.
I'm going to go with an Arsenal win and over 2.5 goals. I think for this one, as Aaron said there, the issues defensively have to be taken into consideration. Four of the seven Premier League games for Arsenal this season have had over 2.5 goals. And two of their three at home have had over 2.5. For Villa, likewise, four of their six in the Premier League have seen over 2.5 goals scored. And I just think the Gunners are too much quality in this one that they'll go on and get the win. It was a 3-2 victory for them at home against Villa last season as well. So that bet would have landed on that occasion. And they've won the last four against Villa when they've hosted them at the Emirates. So for me, yeah, that Arsenal bet, over 2.5 goals.
Arsenal, very well fancied on the show this week. Still the other divisions to get through and the naps after this.
I'm Jose Mourinho. I know a thing or two about being special. Being on the front cover of Rolling Stone magazine? Special. Winning the daily jackpot on Paddy Power games? Not special.
Understood, Jose. Yes, someone wins an average £40,000 jackpot every single day. So if you win, don't think you're special. Daily jackpots by Paddy Power Games. Jackpots must be awarded by 11 p.m. and vary from day to day. Jackpot is shared with other operators. Available on selected games. T's and C's at paddypower.com. 18+.
Okay, part three of the football postcast. Welcome back. The Premier League, all done and dusted. 10 live games this week, all previewed by our expert football tipsters. Time to get into the other divisions. Aaron, we'll start with you. I know you usually like an EFL angle. Will it be the same this week?
I am struggling with the FA Cup, Jack. I've only got one bet in the FA Cup that I fancy at the prices so far. And I'd be backing Crewe at 6-5 to win at Bolton. The Trotters, Bolton, they were fancied for the League Two title, fancied by me as well, Jack. And it's a slow start, but they've had a lot of injuries, and especially in forward areas. And Owen Doyle's out. Shaw Miller and Lord Isgrove are still working their way back, so they don't carry much of a threat at the moment. And Crewe, they're in League One, and I just think they've got a class edge. So odds against, I'd be backing those them to prevail.
Okay, Bobby, any other fancies?
Yeah, a couple for me. I've looked at the game on Friday night in Ligue 1, Strasbourg against Marseille. It's Strasbourg in 19th against Marseille in 5th, and you can get a pretty good 6-4 on Marseille to win this one. They've only lost once all season. That was against St Etienne. Back-to-back wins coming into this game. And they've drawn 3 times, but those draws have been against sides sort of placed around them in the table. Lille are up ahead of them. Lyon, a side that are always going to be difficult, and Metz as well, who have had a pretty good start to the season. So I think backing Marseille on the road in this one looks a decent option. excuse me. So I think backing Marseille on the road in this one looks a decent option. Also, I've been looking at the Bundesliga game, and the big one, of course, in the Bundesliga this weekend, Borussia Dortmund against Bayern Munich. I think this is going to be a great match. Bayern Munich and over 2.5 goals is my pick for this one at 11-10. Bayern Munich, all 6 of Bayern Munich's games in the Bundesliga this season have had over 2.5 goals. And that bet has landed as well in the last 2 matches between these two sides. Bayern have won the last 3 against Dortmund across all competitions. So I think they will have too much despite being on the road. Maybe didn't look their best last weekend against Cologne, but I think they showed in midweek in the Champions League that they've got plenty of goals in them. And I think at the moment they are just a bit better than Borussia Dortmund. And I'd fancy them to go and win this one.
And Will, what about you?
I really fancy Lazio. They're hosting Juve this weekend, and you could back them at a 13-5. Lazio have been a decent team, and they will give Juve a game, but it's more so because I really don't fancy Juve. I've not been convinced by them at all this season. In fact, so much so that we've gone top price for Juve for the league at 5-2. The next best price you'll find anywhere will be 2-1. You know, so if you disagree with me on Juve, then by all means take our price there, top price for Juve to win Serie A at 5-2.
Sorry, Jack, just a quick one. I do have one more fancy on Friday in Serie A. Sassuolo evens at home to Udinese. Sassuolo are flying. They're second in Serie A. They're just 2 points behind Milan. They're unbeaten in 6 games this season. They were 2-0 winners at Napoli last weekend. That was a 4th success in 5 games. And they're just so lively going forward. They've scored 18 goals in 6 games. And the visitors, they're second bottom. They've lost 5 of their first 6 fixtures. So even money about Sassuolo looks a big price to me.
Oh, we're going for a double.
Oh, a very good
double
team.
Header on Sassuolo. Mark Langdon tipped them up last week and was successful. So hopefully they prosper again for the listeners of the postcards. Right, time for the naps.
This will not be beaten.
Okay, then, time for the nap, Trevor. Lots of opinions, lots of facts being thrown about on the postcast today. But if we had to narrow it down to one bet from each of the gents, what would it be? This nap, Trevor, will be enhanced on the Paddy Power website. Just head over there and you'll be able to find it fairly simply. Will, we'll start with you.
Like I said earlier, I'm very impressed with Spurs, and they've got to be my nap for the weekend.
Spurs are the first in the treble. Aaron?
I'm going to go for Huddersfield at home to Luton. They've taken time to adapt to life without Carlon Grant, and they've also been adjusting to a new manager in Carlos Corberan. He was obviously the former assistant to Marcelo Bielsa at Leeds, and you can already see he's trying to implement that possession-based style at the John Smith Stadium. Their performances are improving, and they're dominating the ball in the majority of their games. They ended Millwall's unbeaten run last season in a 3-0 romp, and I think at 5-4, I think they're a good price. The Hatters have made a solid start. They've won 5 games this season, but all of their wins have come against Barnsley, Derby, Wickham, Sheffield and Rotherham, and they all sit 18th or below in the table. So I think Huddersfield can win here.
Yeah, I didn't fancy Huddersfield coming into the season, but they've really impressed me, especially that 3-0 win over Millwall, who have looked good all season. And Bobby, complete the treble for me, please.
Manchester City, for me, spoke about them earlier on and feeling that they'll get the victory at the Etihad this weekend. Liverpool's defensive issues, injuries and lack of organisation, I think he's just going to give too much of an opportunity for City in this game, and all 3 points staying on home soil.
Okay then, Manchester City, Spurs and Huddersfield, the Paddy Power Nap treble for this week. That will be enhanced, as I said, on the Paddy Power website. A massive thank you to Aaron, Bobby and Will for their insight this week. Please do remember, if you are having a bet, to remember to keep your stakes within your means and also gamble responsibly. We'll be back again next week for another football podcast. But until then, stay safe and we'll see you again very soon. Bye-bye.